There is one thing that I would pray for each of you. As I pray for it for myself. And as I was considering, what do I share today with you of God's word that is relevant? If you come here and I talk over your head, you're wasting your time. You ought to be someplace else. But if I can bring something that is relevant for you, something that is germane to your life, to what you are doing today, what you're going to be doing tomorrow, then that is important. Especially if I can bring that to you out of God's word. Now, I praise the Lord every Sunday morning for the way that the Holy Spirit sort of coincides Tim's Sunday school lesson with, he has no idea what I'm going to be preaching about, but the Holy Spirit knows. And so the Holy Spirit directs his lesson in the way it needs to go. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer before we get started. And ask that his Holy Spirit will help us to accomplish what he wants accomplished in these next few minutes. Father, we come before you this morning because we want your will in our lives. Father, it goes against everything that we are. It goes against our human carnality. It goes against this temple of clay in which we live, for we want to do things for ourselves. But Father, we would ask this morning that you would help us to submit to your will, to do the things that you would have us do, and Father, that we might not exercise our own free will, but that might be submitted to thee. Help us this morning to find truth in your word. Help us this morning to find power in that truth. And Father, send us forth stronger, closer to thee, better prepared. And Father, we will praise you for who you are and what you do. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, question. I love to start with questions. Is there anybody here this morning who has never made a mistake? I'm disappointed. I'm looking for some counsel, for some advice from someone who has never made a mistake. And some of you are going to say, well, you ought to be looking in the Bible. Yeah. And that's quite true. You know, what if, say we look in the Bible, but our problems are not problems necessarily that the Bible deals with. How do we use the Bible to undo some of the things that we have done? Most problems which we face as individuals are because someone who went before us made a mistake. And I like those kind of problems because then I don't have to blame me. But the fact of the matter is this. Many of us have problems because we make mistakes in judgment. And a lot of times we'll tell ourselves, well, you know, we're only human. That's a cop-out. We are human. But we don't have to make mistakes. And especially if we do what God has told us to do. And the title of the message this morning is, What Do We Really Need? And that was a question I asked myself before working on this message to share with you this morning. What do we really need? Most of us don't like to take responsibility for our own actions. You know, when I run into the back end of the car in front of me that stopped for the red light, it's because my wife is talking to me. It's not my fault. And some of you have probably said that same thing. It's not my fault. But I want us to look at a passage of Scripture this morning. It's a passage that you're familiar with. And it's a passage that you have probably at one time or another thought that you were claiming a promise of, or you tried to claim a promise from it, but you didn't really understand, or you didn't know how Jesus was using this. So you've turned to Luke chapter 11. I want to go to verse 9, and I want to read about five verses here. Luke 11, beginning at verse 9. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. You think, Pastor, now you're talking my language. I want all these things. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of you, that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him for a fish a serpent? Or if he shall seek an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? Now the verse that I want you to notice. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them who ask him? And folks, that's what we really need this morning. Not just this morning, we need it all the time. When's the last time that you asked God to give you his Holy Spirit? You say, well, Pastor, I thought that when we got saved, the minute we got saved, the Holy Spirit indwelled our hearts, and he was always with us. That's correct. He does. 1 Corinthians 6:19. What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which is ye have of God? Ye are not your own. And Paul tells us in another scripture, 1 Corinthians 3:16, know ye not that ye are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Okay, the first one was 1 Corinthians 6:19. Second was 1 Corinthians 3:16. And then we go to Romans 8:9. Romans 8:9, it says, but ye are not in the flesh, but the Spirit. But ye are not of the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And so this list of scriptures would not be complete unless we add one more scripture, 2 Corinthians 1:22. Who hath also sealed us, and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. The moment that we are saved, the moment you were saved, God sealed your heart with the Holy Spirit. So he's there. If you know Christ, he is there. But sometimes we don't know how to communicate with him. He might be there, But sometimes, have you ever tried to communicate with your wife or spouse or a friend through a closed door? Sometimes you don't hear all that's going on, or you don't understand. Remember the question that we started with, the title of the message, what do we really need? Okay, so we really need the Holy Spirit of God working in us, helping us to be successful through the Lord Jesus Christ. And you'll notice that most of the time when I open in prayer, that's one of the things I ask God to do, is send His Holy Spirit or use His Holy Spirit to minister to each of our hearts. That's so important because of what our hearts are. Our hearts are deceitfully wicked. Who can know it? So we need the Spirit of God working in us rather than our own spirits. The reason that I ask God to send His Holy Spirit is because I'm not as smart as I would like to be. And sometimes I make mistakes. And I want to share some things with you this morning that are important that you understand. And maybe as I share these things, you'll begin to get a picture of where we all need to be. Now, I know none of you have a problem of making mistakes, but I do. And so I ask during a prayer when I open that God reconnect us to His Holy Spirit. That's what we all need every day. We need the connection to God. I know we all know what the Bible says, but there are times when we mess up because we do not listen. We do not hear God's Holy Spirit speaking to us. And so we don't do sometimes the things that we are told to do. Ephesians 4:30 says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." You know, it does grieve the Holy Spirit when we don't listen. You as parents, when your children don't listen to you, does it make you happy? Are you out there rejoicing? Oh, my kids ignore me. I love that. No, you know, that's not the way you respond. At least that's not the way I respond. And don't you think the same thing applies to God? When His children don't listen to Him, He's given us a way of listening. He's given us a channel of communication. His channel of communication is called the Holy Spirit. He is a person. He speaks to us. He's trying to lead us. He's trying to empower us. He is trying to make us successful. Now, somebody about this point might be asking, well, is this really relevant? Is this germane to my life? And folks, it is, whether you realize it or not. You and me. We live in a world of other people's mistakes. Did you know that? It doesn't take very long to realize that. We live in a world full of other people's mistakes. And they do affect you. They affect me. They don't have to. If I listen to the Holy Spirit of God, I'll know what to do. If somebody were to ask me, you know, Why wouldn't you listen to the Holy Spirit of God? And I were to answer that, I'd have to tell them because I'm stupid. I'm not proud of that. But there are times when I do not. And I'm going to give you an example. And this message is really going to take the place of a business meeting today. This is supposed to be the Sunday where we have our quarterly business meeting. We don't need to have one because everything's already taken care of right now. But when I came to this church almost five years ago, it'll be 5 years, November 1st, no one told me some of the things about the history of the church. I understood about the school building, and I'll share that with you in a little bit. But I got here, and from time to time, we would have leaks in the roof over in the Sunday school building. And being a former contractor and having a knowledge of how to fix things, I knew exactly what we needed to do to fix that roof. And so we did something. And the roof still leaked. And so then I considered other possibilities, and I talked with a few of the men, and I got with them and decided there was something else we could do, and so we did that. And the roof still leaked. About now, I should have gotten a little smarter. But then a fella came to me, and he was a contractor. He was a roofing contractor. He says, I can fix your roof for $3,200. Now, we'd been spending money on the roof, thousands. And he said, I can fix your roof and guarantee it for 6 years for $3,200. Man, I'm glad I don't have to get back up there and do all the things that we've had to do to that roof. And so I went ahead and told you folks, shared it with you folks, and some of you helped provide. And so we had him fix it. There was water on the table where Connie and I were sitting this morning. There's water dripping in the floor this morning in that same area. You know why? Let me tell you why. This time it's not because I was stupid. I didn't know. 30 years ago, when that building was built, they were going to make it a two-story building. And so they put a temporary roof on it that was good for about 15 years. And they never got around to building that second story on there. So basically what we've been doing is putting Band-Aids on Band-Aids. Because I didn't know that it was a temporary roof good for 15 years. That was 30 years ago. And underneath that roof right now, the whole metal deck is saturated with water. Because it has leaked in, and there's a foam on top of that deck, and then there's roofing on top of that. And so that foam is all saturated. And so when I and an air conditioning repairman walked across it a few weeks ago, every place we walked, it dripped underneath. The Bible says, confess your sins one to another. I didn't do, I committed the cardinal sin for pastors. Please forgive me. I'm asking you right now. Please forgive me. I did not practice what I preached. I keep telling you, talk to the Holy Spirit. Listen to the Holy Spirit. But I was listening to this. And so I missed the solution. Now, I know none of you have ever done anything like that. You've never tried to fix something yourself before you ask God how to fix it. So last Tuesday night, the deacons and I, all four of them and I, met. We always open with prayer. We always close with prayer. And during that time, we asked God to show us what needed to be done. And we're not going to do anything till he shows us, and he has not showed us yet. Therefore, we wound up with a bucket. And when you see that roof leaking, please don't always think, well, the pastor messed up again. Understand that it was because I did not inquire of the Holy Spirit to learn the facts. Okay? We live in a world full of other people's mistakes. Somebody else made a mistake when they didn't put the roof on there because it was temporary. They needed to re-roof it, and they didn't do it. They were supposed to build a second story. They didn't do that. And so you and I today are going to live with their mistakes. And your life is like that in so many ways you're not even aware of. But there is a solution. And that's what I want to share with you this morning, is the solution to this kind of stuff going on in your own life. When we, you and I, become part of any group, we assume the responsibility of taking care of whatever needs to be taken care of by that group. Whether that group is at work, you're on a job, it's your responsibility to do the best job you can do to make that group successful. When you become a part of the church, it's your responsibility to help make that church successful. Whatever that word might, however you might define that word. Or if you become part of a social organization, then you have the responsibility, by the fact that you are a part of that, to help make that group successful. And if something is broken, the accountability for fixing it goes to the group, not to whoever broke it. You know, you and I go through life leaving a trail of broken things behind us. Oh, we don't do it intentionally. A lot of times we don't even know we're doing it. But there's all these broken things behind us. And it's just the way that every generation does. Decisions get made without thought as to what the consequences might be. And then later on, someone else has to fix our mistake. And churches are like that too, people. Pastors, previous pastors, make decisions not realizing the consequences that that decision might make in the ministry. We've got a great church here, and I'm so glad to be a part of this church and this ministry. Our people love each other, and that's what God says we're supposed to do. Our people want to please him. I believe that you want to be a beacon in your community for Jesus Christ, and that's what we want this church to be, and so we need to concentrate on what the Holy Spirit wants for us. We don't need to be concerned or worry about the leaks in that roof. God will show us how to fix it when it's time. We want to we've got the two-story building behind it. You don't know this, but we can't sell that building if we wanted to because it doesn't meet code. More mistakes made by other people. The architect who designed it, the contractor who built it, the person with the county who should have inspected it and didn't, all had something in common. I'm not going to share it with you. But that's why these things didn't get done. And so when that building was finished, it did not meet code. And when the fire department came in to issue an occupancy permit, they said, nope, you cannot have people in this building. And so there was a lawsuit, and $800,000 or $900,000 of work had to be put into that building. It still doesn't meet code. Mistakes made by people previous to us. But you and I have to deal with that. And life is exactly like that. So what do we really need? Well, let's get into that. Now, Luke 11:13, last verse of what we looked at, the scripture we looked at this morning, says, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them who ask him? Like I said, it's sort of embarrassing. I didn't practice what I preach. So how can I expect you to be obedient to Scripture if I don't always be obedient to Scripture? A lot of things get done like that, and sometimes you and I, we use the excuse, well, I'm only human. You know, I don't believe God buys that. He knew that before he put us here. So this doesn't come to a... is a surprise to him that we're human. So I thought these things might be a good example to you of how we all can mess up. Nobody's perfect. As you saw when I asked the question, the first question, is anybody here never made a mistake? We all have. So how do we be critical of somebody else making mistakes? We're not to be. That's why Jesus told his disciples, judge not that you be not judged. I didn't mean we're not to judge at all. It means that we are not to condemn others for the very same thing that we do. What we really need to do each morning as we get up, and now we're getting into the Sunday school lesson. Every morning when we rise up from bed and prepare for the day, we, you and I, need to ask God for communication with his Holy Spirit, because we have a promise right here in Luke Luke chapter 11, verse 13. So the problem is that when we get up in the morning, our minds are not always on Jesus Christ. Oh, my back hurts. My knees are stiff. You young people don't have that problem, but you get it. Oh, my feet hurt. So our mind is not on, Jesus, how can I please you today? God, give me the Holy Spirit, because he says as a promise to us, if we will ask him, he will give it. Because he is a good God, people. He is a best God in the whole universe. He's the only God in the whole universe. And he wants to love us, and he wants to do for us if we will just let him. And he has this person called the Holy Spirit, who is a part of him, and he wants to give him to you. He wants to give him to me. And he wants to use him to communicate with my wicked old heart and your wicked old heart so that you will know how to use the day. Tim was talking in Sunday school this morning about God being everywhere. I have noticed lately, if I have a thought of doing something that God does not want me to do, that immediately the Holy Spirit gives me a check in my heart. Don't do that. God is watching. And you know, it works. It works. We have a mission to perform for our Savior. And to do it, we must be sure that we are following God's word. And the Apostle Jude explains it best in Jude 1, 17 through 21. Jude 1, 17 through 21. Jude is a little book right after the epistles of John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. Jude says this, "But beloved," he's talking to the Christian, "remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ." Remember what the apostles said. "How that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lust. These be they who separate themselves sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." Our prayers are supposed to be in the Spirit of God. He is supposed to be leading our prayers. Tim would like a Maserati. But he knows in his heart God doesn't want him to have one. Because there's a telephone post out there with Tim's name on it. We are supposed to follow and desire and possess the Holy Spirit. We possess him. He doesn't possess us. As a general rule, that's why we make mistakes. But if we get up in the morning and we ask God, "God, give me of your Spirit today to lead me through this day," we're starting off on the right foot. So since I've been working on this message, and it's been a while, now I do two things when I wake up and I sit up on the edge of the bed. When my feet hit the floor, I say, "Thank you, God, for giving me another day." And then I say, "God, give me your Holy Spirit that I might use this day in the way you want it used." Not to make it a good day necessarily, but that I might use it in the way that he wants it used. And so in answer to the question, which is the title of this message, what do we really need? Every one of us sitting here this morning needs God's Holy Spirit communicating with us. Nothing impossible. God has promised if we ask for the Holy Spirit from him, he will give it. Doesn't mean we're going to be perfect. Don't expect that of me. Two things I would ask of you. One is, and most important, don't pray for patience for me, okay? And secondly, don't expect me to be perfect. I live in the same clay temple you do. Same type. And there are going to be times when I'm going to tell you, I'm only human. We have a mission. We need the Holy Spirit operating within us to the glory of God. We need to be that beacon of light to the people around us. And that's what God has put us here to be. We, as kids, Connie and I have conducted, worked with kids in camp, and you have too during vacation Bible and school. One of the favorite songs these kids sing is, "This little light of mine, I'm going to make it shine." We need God and God's Holy Spirit to make that little light shine. That should be our prayer every morning. God, make me a light. Let me shine for Jesus' sake. And so, this morning, and the morning is over in one more minute, this morning, ask God to give you his Holy Spirit, that your light might shine. That's what we all need. And if we don't have it, there's only one reason we don't have it. We didn't ask. James says you have not because you ask not. You ask and don't get it because you ask amiss that you might consume it on your lust. We're doing this for the sake, for the glory of God. We're doing this for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And people will have to notice that light when the Holy Spirit is the source of that light radiating out of your life. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for loving us enough. Thank you for forgiving us and promising us the Holy Spirit to minister through us and to guide us and to lead us and Father, to be the source of power in our lives. May every one of us desire him. And Father, may every one of us communicate with him daily. And Father, help us to be successful in our service to thee. And Father, we can do nothing but praise you for what you do. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.